Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. You know, Red China's war manual is called Unrestricted Warfare. If you look at everything China has done this century, all aspects of its economic, military, diplomatic, and technological relations with the rest of the world, well, if you look there, you're seeing unrestricted warfare being played out. Their goal is specifically to replace us as the world's economic, political, and ideological leader. The only rule in unrestricted warfare is that there are no rules. Folks, we need to know who our enemies are. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, you're a gardener. How's your gardening going? You grow a lot of your food, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do, Colonel. Last night, I was up late till like 2:30 a.m., and I was making pickled beets and pickled eggs, of all things. I know most people don't do that, but my family loves them, so I made like 8 quarts of pickled beets and pickled eggs, and they're not too bad, better than sea rations.
Brother, you don't have to sell me on that one. I believe you. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the funding of illegal immigrants in our nation. Yeah, we taxpayers are funding them. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, retired Navy Captain Tom Burke will discuss some of our nation's challenges. Then author Jeff Breslow will discuss his cool new book, A Game Maker's Life. Then we'll review the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. This month is the Okinawa Battle of World War II. And of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Okay, now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Skip?
Well, the prisoners at the Russian penal colony in St. Petersburg were expecting a visit by officials, thinking it would be some sort of inspection. Instead, men in uniform arrived and offered them amnesty if they agreed to fight alongside the Russian army in Ukraine. Over the following days, about a dozen or so left the prison. As Russia continues to suffer losses in its invasion of Ukraine, now nearing its 6th month, the Kremlin has refused to announce a full-blown mobilization, a move that could be very unpopular for President Putin. That has led instead to a covert recruitment effort that includes using prisoners to make up the manpower shortage. This also is happening amid reports that hundreds of Russian soldiers are refusing to fight and trying to quit the military. Quote, "We're seeing a huge outflow of people who want to leave the war zone, those who have been serving for a long time and those who have signed a contract just recently," said a lawyer who runs the Conscript School Legal Aid Group. The group has seen an influx of requests from men who want to terminate their contracts. Quote, "And I personally get the impression that everyone who can is ready to run away," the lawyer said. And the defense ministry is digging deep to find those it can persuade to serve. Regional administrations are forming volunteer battalions that are promoted on state television. The Business Daily Kommersant counted at least 40 such entities in 20 regions, with officials promising volunteers monthly salaries ranging from the equivalent of $2,150 to nearly $5,500-plus bonuses.
You know, fighting an unjust war, invading and killing civilians, should be something no one wants to do. And your average Russian is a normal person. However, we do have something in common with Russians. We're having trouble getting people to join our military, too, and we're not asking them to kill civilians, but we are teaching them to hate America.
You know, Colonel, they must be getting really desperate over there. And I think if the war drags on much longer, it's just going to get more and more difficult for them to get people to fight for them.
Very, very clearly.
Well, Colonel, the Justice Department says an Iranian operative has been charged in a plot to murder former Trump administration National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Well, I know Ambassador Bolton. He quit or was fired from Trump's team, but he was a very effective national security advisor and very hostile to Iran. Maybe they were trying to get even with him? That sounds about right. Of course, they'll deny it all being involved.
And the FBI is at it again, this time seizing the phone of Republican Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania. The seizure of Perry's device comes a day after the FBI raided former President Trump's Florida home. Perry is a Trump ally and fought closely with the former president after the 2020 election. According to Perry, the FBI contacted him while he was traveling with his family. Perry claimed they did not attempt to contact his attorney, who would have turned the phone over to authorities. Perry said, quote, "As with President Trump last night, DOJ chose this unnecessary and aggressive action instead of simply contacting my attorneys. These kinds of banana republic tactics should concern every citizen, especially considering the decision before Congress this week to hire 87,000 new IRS agents to further persecute law-abiding citizens." In a separate statement about the incident, Perry said, "I am outraged, though not surprised, that the FBI, under the direction of Merrick Garland's DOJ, would seize the phone of a sitting member of Congress. My phone contains information about my legislative and political activities and personal and private discussions with my wife, family, constituents, and friends. None of this is the government's business."
Isn't it interesting that only Republicans are being raided? This is why it's clear to me that justice is no longer a part of the Justice Department and the FBI. My uncle served a full career in the FBI. I'm sure he'd be ashamed of that right now.
Colonel, I think we're entering a new era in American history here, because I don't recall things like this happening.
No, an evil era.
Well, more than 1,000 soldiers are stuck in moldy barracks for weeks as officials at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, begin assessing locations and options for them after an inspection by Sergeant Major of the Army Michael Grinston earlier this month found the buildings to be unlivable. Cheryl Rivas, a spokeswoman for the Post, said that no soldiers have been moved yet, but she emphasized that the Army hopes to start within the next 30 days.
We need to take care of our military personnel. This includes where we house them. Doing so costs money. Apparently, our government is more concerned about taking care of illegal aliens. I salute the Sergeant Major of the Army for getting this done. It's his job, and he did it well.
And a leader from the Pentagon confirmed Elon Musk's earlier claim that SpaceX successfully defended its Starlink satellite broadband internet service against Russian hacking and jamming attacks. Musk tweeted on March 25th that all such attempts had been foiled up to that point. Dave Tremper, a director of electronic warfare for the Office of the Secretary of Defense, said he was impressed by how quickly the attacks were repelled. Quote, "Starlink had slung a line of code and had fixed it, and suddenly that was not effective anymore," Tremper said during the virtual C4ISRNet Defense and Military Conference. Quote, "How they did that is kind of eye-watering to me," unquote. Tremper called Starlink an interesting case study and said the military could learn from how the team quickly addressed the problem. "We need to be able to have that agility," he added. After Russia invaded Ukraine in late February, Vice Prime Minister of the Ukraine, Fedorov, requested Musk help. The billionaire SpaceX founder responded by activating Starlink service in the country and sending a number of receiver kits to Ukraine, and they worked very well.
No surprise, our military is looking into adapting Starlink into our communication structure. The Army just signed a 3-year contract looking at the options. The other services are looking at it too. Why wouldn't they? That sounds really like Musk really came up with something really good.
You know, I could use Starlink at my house. Maybe I should call him.
You know, I strongly encourage that.
Okay.
Well, that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk with Navy Captain Tom Burke, a guy who commanded the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Most home invasions occur when people are at work between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Because of this, we highly recommend the installation of a home security video surveillance system. These systems are easy to install and cost only a few hundred dollars. They allow you to monitor your home while you're at work via your computer or cell phone. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM when you order and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, if you're a taxpayer anywhere in the U.S., and especially in New York, you're getting scammed by groups like United Way Catholic Charities and the Central American Refugee Center, CareSyn. You may think they're charities. Truth is, these groups are hauling in millions in taxpayer dollars, your money, under government contracts to facilitate illegal immigration. Ever wonder how these illegal aliens can survive and live here, and why they think they're welcome? They're supported by money laundering. Some politicians want to maximize illegal immigration, but they don't want their fingerprints on it. The remedy? Pay so-called charities that will do the work for them. Who's in on the scam? Well, clearly President Biden and politicians across the country, including especially the mayors in New York City and D.C. and the New York governor. Even before crossing the border, migrants still in Mexico are being handed payment cards loaded with $400 a month to enable them to pay for necessities. These cards are distributed by the nonprofit, the UN International Organization for Migration, thanks to money provided by our State Department. After crossing and surrendering to our Border Patrol agents, many migrants are directed to Catholic Charities, which provides them with hotel rooms, meals, and clothing, and sometimes pays for their bus or plane tickets to their chosen destination. Sister Norma Pimentel, executive director of Catholic Charities, the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, explains that the mission is merely to, quote, give a cup of water in Jesus' name. Well, who can argue with that? Except that the money isn't coming from the Sunday offerings. Pimentel admits her organization is reimbursed by the federal government. It's coming from taxpayers who have no idea that they're supporting illegal immigration. Texans such as State Representative Lance Gooden blame these organizations for, quote, fueling the drastic increases in illegal immigration across our southern border and throughout the country. Obviously, these so-called charities are knowingly participating in a scam, giving away taxpayers' money in a way that makes them look good. Texas and Arizona are busing immigrants to the nation's capital. The mayors in D.C. and New York City are screaming about how hard it is to take care of these unexpected people. I wonder if they think the illegals who end up in other cities around the nation aren't also causing a huge problem, but no one cares about that. Anyway, when the buses arrive in D.C., meeting them are staff from CareSyn, a far-left group funded almost entirely by government contracts, and Catholic Charities. These groups hand out gift cards and food packages, direct migrants to shelters or hotel rooms, or help them buy tickets to other destinations. Who pays for all this? FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, a government agency that funnels money through the nonprofits. I don't think this is in FEMA's charter. FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program Board includes Catholic Charities and United Way, which passes the money to local nonprofits serving immigrants who are here illegally. FEMA has already provided $3.3 million in humanitarian funding for this purpose in the D.C. area. Okay, on to the New York City, where the Biden administration has been flying in immigrants on charter flights in the dead of night. After these flights land, usually at Westchester County Airport in White Plains, immigrants get on chartered buses and head off to the destinations across the region, including several Catholic Charities facilities. Catholic Charities and Care Center are funded largely by government contracts, not private donations, their financial statements reveal. Care Center's stated mission is especially revealing. It includes voter registration and civic engagement. Translation, probably to add to the rolls of Democratic Party voters. On 19 July, Mayor Adams in New York City bemoaned the surge of immigrants coming into the homeless shelter system, but don't take his protestation seriously. They're political theatrics. New York is required to provide shelter to anyone from anywhere who has no other place to sleep. That's thanks to lawsuits brought by nonprofits, such as the Coalition for the Homeless. Who funds the coalition? New York City and New York State. The coalition is a quasi-government actor posing as a charity. It's the city suing the city. The losers are the taxpayers who have to foot the bill for the charade. And Americans already here who need a helping hand, such as Jeffrey Harris, a 56-year-old veteran living in one of the shelters. Quote, if we can't take care of homeless here, how can we take care of immigrants? He fumed. Good question. Does your city or state have such laws? And why are we spending taxpayer money like this while ignoring homeless veterans and others? And how do we know that these illegal immigrants aren't terrorists? Folks, our nation is beyond broke. Our military can't replace the equipment we've given to Ukraine. Gas and food prices are, among others, high and getting higher. And we're not only spending money like this, but we're hiding the fact that we're doing it. Our nation is truly out of control, and we need to do something about it. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
On August 19, 1812, the legend of Old Ironsands began with a decisive victory over the Royal Navy. The pride of the American naval fleet, the U.S. Constitution, got its nickname when an American sailor shouted joyfully, "Huzzah! Her sides are made of iron!" as the ship's white oak planks and live oak frame, which were grown in the swamps of Georgia, repelled volleys of direct cannon fire from the British warship HMSS Guerriere. The Constitution, under Captain Isaac Hull, destroyed the Guerriere and forced her crew to surrender in close combat sea exchange. The British ship was so badly beaten that Hull scuttled it rather than capture it as a trophy of war. The victory of the American-made warship over the allegedly invincible Royal Navy in the early days of the war inspired patriotic fever across this new nation. The battle happened about 600 miles east of Boston in the open Atlantic Sea. According to the U.S. Navy's Naval History and Heritage Command, the Constitution then sailed for Boston with Guerriere's crew on board as prisoners. News of the Constitution's victory quickly spread throughout the town, and throngs of cheering Bostonians greeted Hull and his crew. A militia company even escorted Hull to a reception at the Exchange Coffee House, along with more dinners, presentations, and awards that followed in the ensuing weeks, months, and years later. The legend of Old Ironsides was only the beginning. She proved an invincible force at sea. The Constitution went on to defeat or capture seven more British warships in 1812 and ran the British blockade of Boston twice. She earned 33 victories at sea with zero defeats. The ship was ordered on March 1, 1794, in anticipation of the passage of the Naval Act of 1794, which President George Washington signed on March 27. The act called for the nation to build six warships, and the U.S. Constitution was among them, marking the official beginnings of the U.S. naval fleet. The U.S. Constitution was launched on October 21, 1797, and served in the quasi-war against France and the Barbary Wars in the Mediterranean. She was also part of the American fleet that bombarded Tripoli in 1804, which was a powerful show of force on the global stage of naval power for our young nation. Old Ironsides is docked today at the Constitution Wharf in the Charlestown section of Boston, a short distance from where she was built, and in the shadows of the Bunker Hill Monument. The U.S. Constitution is still manned today by active-duty U.S. Navy personnel and is the oldest commissioned warship in the world. and she even still takes the sea for special celebrations, such as Independence Day. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss issues in our military with Captain Tom Burke. Then we'll talk with Jeff Breslow about his book, A Game Maker's Life. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, it's an honor to welcome back to the show retired Navy Captain Tom Burke. Among other things, Tom's a member of the Frontlines of Freedom Advisory Board. While he's been on the show more than once, many folks best remember him by his interview on being the skipper of an aircraft carrier. So welcome back, Tom. Glad you could join us.
Denny, good to see you. How are you?
Awesome. It's a wonderful day. Tom, start by giving us a quick review of your time in the Navy.
Well, I was a naval aviator for about 20 years. And after my squadron command, flying primarily helicopters, I was selected for nuclear power school, which puts you in the potential path to eventually command an aircraft carrier. So I basically spent the last 10 years of my career going through that track as executive officer of a carrier, going to nuclear power school for a year and a half of pain, which I can tell you is a whole lot of fun. I was 44 years old going to nuke school, trying to remember calculus, well, algebra, much less calculus. and then went to a deep draft ship, we call them, in Japan, the USS Blue Ridge. And then from Blue Ridge, I was selected for a carrier, and I had the honor of commanding USS Ronald Reagan for 3 years from 2010 to 2013. So that's my short summary there, Colonel.
Okie doke. Sounds like you had a really good time, because in my opinion, in my experience, command, particularly of a good unit, is the dream come true. It's work, but it's the best job in the world. You agree?
I do. And I would tell you though that Blue Ridge in some ways was a more fun command, because it was Blue Ridge is only a 20,000-ton ship, and it only had 900 people, and that's still a lot. But the carrier, you know, is an enormous 100,000-ton displacement, 5,000 people, just so many things going on all the time. You know, it was just a 24/7 job. Blue Ridge, I actually had some time to sit in my chair and relax a little bit and just enjoy some of the day-to-day. They were both rewarding, but after 3 years on Reagan, I got to tell you, I was pretty done. Pretty out of gas.
I believe you, because something like that it is very draining, and at some point you got to stop being drained and recharge. So yeah, I relate to that totally. Okay, there's all kinds of goofy things going on. I don't think today's military is much like the one I retired from almost 40 years ago. The COVID shot requirements and the punishing of those who even ask for a religious exemption, and the focus on being woke instead of combat ready, those are all really goofy things. But one of the things that certainly is going on that we are involved in to some degree, and I can't see us ever getting away from, is Ukraine. We certainly should have and should still be supportive of Ukraine. The question is how much. What's your position?
First of all, I agree with you that a lot has changed in the last 30 years, for sure, 40 years. The silver lining might be that a lot hasn't changed. I think the camaraderie piece, people looking out for each other, a lot of that's still there. You know, I think you still have a good, strong organization. And I can think back to 30 years ago, 25 years ago, with some initiatives the Navy anyway had that seemed pretty goofy back then, too. So being goofy is something we've done a lot over the years, and we always still seem to come up with a pretty viable force. So I think, sure, there are issues. There are things we should be concerned about. I am. But in the main, I think we're still not in bad shape. As far as Ukraine goes, I wouldn't say that this administration kind of led the response to Ukraine. I think that was really largely Germany and Europe. But I think the country's done a decent job of providing some support, particularly recently. The HIMARS missiles they just sent recently, which are the, I can't remember what HIMARS stands for, but it's a 50-mile artillery, missile-assisted artillery shell. It seems very effective in being able to take out some of the faraway SAM sites from the Russians to help protect the Ukrainian aircraft. There's discussions now about us sending aircraft to Ukraine. They're still trying to figure out what kind of aircraft we would offer up. We can help them to some degree fix their old MiG and Sukhoi Russian aircraft, but obviously none of those are U.S. Sourced things, so it's harder, much harder for us to support those aircraft that they have now. It is fascinating, Denny. I think on balance, though, some of the support we've been providing is important, and I think that what Europe has done is important. We can't step back again like we did in 2014 and just let Putin be a bully.
Yes, sir. I agree. Tom, one thing that confuses me about Ukraine is I can't understand how Russia, as big as they are and as big as their military is, are still fighting there. What's taking them so long to win? I mean, I'm delighted with Ukraine and what they're doing, but how can this happen?
You know, I think a lot of it is kind of the classic command and control thing that we've talked about. I talked about it back in the 80s. We were worried about, you know, going to war with the Russian bear back when I was a young officer, that nobody can make a decision besides the one person in charge. There's no initiative, nothing flows down, you know, so leaders in the field understand commander's intent and can take action independently themselves. So if you bottleneck up the supply chain, the logistics lines, the command decision tree, you basically get folks that don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm not on the ground. I don't get to read the intel anymore like I used to. That's my impression.
Yeah, Russia has always been like that. If you were in a flight of five fighters going somewhere and the lead pilot, the guy in charge, got shot down or sick or somehow died, everybody else would just turn around. Nobody is authorized to take command and go on from there. That's been the case as long as I've been studying Russian military history. So, yeah, it's goofy, but even that, wow, that's crazy. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Captain Tom Burke. Tom, one other topic I want us to touch on that you know a bit about since you spent a little time in the Pacific is the China-Taiwan thing. China has threatened all kinds of things. If a high-ranking person comes over there, even possibly shooting them down, they make their claims on Taiwan very carefully, but by the same token, they don't control it. It is a democracy that we sort of recognize. My concern is that China's got maybe the biggest navy in the world right now, and it's all or most of it's there. We've got a good-sized navy, but we don't have most of it there. That could be a heck of a naval confrontation, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly right. That's the key point is this is in their backyard, you know? And so for us, it's, you know, thousands of miles away across the Pacific. So our supply line, our ability to get to the fight quickly is much different than theirs. And all they really want to do is kind of defend their backyard. So that's really the hardest part of the problem, I think, is as we go into the future, because they've been modernizing their force. You know, they tried this before back in 1996, was it? When they were threatening Taiwan and President Clinton sent two carriers. Uh-huh. And the Chinese backed off, you know, because they knew they didn't have the combat power to go through with what they were, with the saber rattling they were doing back then. But in that subsequent time, they built up a very capable Navy. I don't have a good feel for how they've done with their amphibious fleet. In other words, how would they get forces over? I don't have that intel anymore. So I don't know where they are there, but they certainly have very capable combat ships now. They've got very capable missiles that can kind of, if not deny us the area, certainly deny us free access. We'd have to be very careful maneuvering in spaces where they can reach you with a pretty big stick. And then they're developing some new modern airplanes as well. And this is not a battle that would need to be fought. You know, nobody's talking about fighting it in Beijing. It'd be something that would be off the coast in the South China Sea and the Taiwan Strait. And that battle is right in their backyard. So, yeah, I think it certainly is something to be very concerned about. We have a long history of supporting them, at least to some degree. You know, Taiwan was never, ever part of the Communist Party, right?
Right.
That's where Chiang Kai-shek, back in 1949, when he left, when Mao Zedong basically took over the mainland, Chiang Kai-shek escaped to Taiwan, and it's never been a communist piece of land.
Right. So, okay. Another big question mark and potential disaster area. Well, there's more to discuss about the state of our military and the challenges we face, and Tom's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontline of Freedom. Troops, this time for push-ups. I went to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights, as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, Frontlines of Freedom. This is the final formation for this hour. We're continuing our conversation with retired Navy Captain Tom Burke about the challenges our military is facing and the state of our military. Tom, we just got through talking about what could happen with China and if we get fronted there. One of the things I've heard lately that makes sense, and I never thought about it, but I was just talking to a guy I served with, almost 50 years ago. He said that we did discuss why Russia has really lousy top-down leadership and why they are being embarrassed by a little, not so little, but comparatively little Ukraine. My buddy pointed out that when China started going national and growing and becoming a big communist country, they had Russians come in and train their military. So maybe their Russian military trained the Chinese military to have such lousy leadership that China doesn't want to invade Taiwan because they don't want to be embarrassed by being beaten by Taiwan. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And you know, you can certainly say that Ukraine is one heck of an object lesson for China. The response that Russia got, they did not expect, right? Still haven't really achieved any of their objectives yet. So China's got to be looking at that thinking, oh boy, you know, what if the international response was as strong for a Taiwan move? And next thing you know, we're worrying about Japan and Australia and Britain, et cetera, all jumping in with a unified response. They really must be, this object lesson, I would think, has got to be changing their calculations a little bit.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Japan, certainly they are getting their act together. The Philippines, that's a political whatever, but they know what the issue is. Australia, New Zealand, that could be a heck of a deal for China. But by the same token, our nation's broke. Where are we going to get the money to support all of this? I mean, how do we even rebuild our supply stuff that we sent to Ukraine? How do we even replace that when we don't have any money?
Well, this is not a conflict anybody wants, I don't think. Is you know, economically, you're right, and not only is it our national treasure, it's also just how inextricably linked all these economies are in the Western Pacific. A significant dust up like that could really do a whole lot of damage to that part of the world, including us. So, yeah, it's not something anybody wants to charge out and go do if we can avoid it. But on the other hand, it's another bully question. You know, how much you're going to let these dictators, you know, bully everybody else around them? China's goal is to basically take over the whole South China Sea. If they get Taiwan, is what's all about resources. They want to get Taiwan as well. It extends their economic exclusion zone even further into the Second Island Chain area. So, you know, it's all about them getting more resources, and how much can we just stand back and let them do that sort of thing?
That's a good point. You know, a little bit like Pearl Harbor. We didn't want to be in World War II, but all of a sudden, you don't really have a big choice, do you?
Right.
Tom, one of the challenges I think we face is that our military isn't recruiting, or they are not being successful at recruiting. I mean, they're all sort of okay. The Army's not, but nobody's fat and happy. I can't imagine being in a military where you're throwing people out for doing something that has something to do with their faith. I mean, I'm not sure. Well, I am sure. I do not recommend young men, women go into the military right now unless they really, really believe that that's the direction that they believe their faith is sending them. And that's not to say that our military is ineffective. I certainly don't believe that. But something is different, and in a wrong kind of way. What's your perspective?
Well, like we briefly talked about in the last segment, just briefly, I think there's still plenty of good things going on. There's still plenty of great young people in our military. Guidance comes down from on high sometimes. It seems a little bit, why are we doing that? I've seen that over the course of my entire career. I saw that we'd get a new chief of naval operations or something, and there'd be this new policy, new direction we were going to go, and it wouldn't last his tenure because it just never caught on. So there are lots of initiatives out there, lots of things happening all the time that some of them are you consider them very tedious. They pull away from your mission readiness, and you just have to weather through those and stay focused on the right things. And I think we've still got some very high quality young folks that come into the service. Now, this thing about the Army, though, yeah, with their recruiting this year, I was just reading about Secretary Wormuth talking about it yesterday. That looks to be bubbling into a real issue. I don't know how that's going to move forward yet.
But I think your point's well taken. The career military people, officer and enlisted, that we've got there, they've been good people. They are, yeah, every group's got a couple of jerks in them. But the group as a whole are good professionals, and they know what it's like to weather something out and come out the other side, can continue to march. So that's what I hear you saying, and that does make sense. Okay, Tom, I got a couple more things to talk about, but before we go on to something that we're both going to next week, what are the key points from what we just discussed you'd like everybody to remember?
Well, I think the main thing is just that I think it is important that we stay engaged in these international issues. That doesn't always mean we're troops on the ground. You know, I was not a fan of the way we moved all across Afghanistan 20 years ago. In fact, I argued very, very strongly against it while I was in the Joint Chiefs. I thought it was folly to put in that much time and resources against something that was not that strategically important to us, other than killing bin Laden, killing the bad guys. But Ukraine is, you know, a very significant place geostrategically, as is Taiwan. So those things I think we do need to be involved in. in some ways, because we can't just let these communist dictators bully everybody around the planet.
Good point. And there's also a lesson to be learned about don't buy from them. Russia's just cut down the oil, at least the fuel that they're going to sell to Europe, because Europe is supporting Ukraine. And we have a big economic links to China that they could pull our chain on there too. There's a lesson to be learned there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And this is going to repercuss through Europe for a while, certainly this winter.
It will indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We've been talking with Captain Tom Burke. Tom, there's an event honoring veterans taking place next weekend at the LMCU ballpark here in Western Michigan. And we're both going to be there. And you're the keynote speaker. It's sponsored by a locally owned, veteran-owned Ashley Home Store. Talk to us about this event. We want to support those across the nation, and this is one that you're speaking at. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, well, thanks, Denny. I appreciate a chance to mention it. You know, Ashley Home Stores is a veteran-owned business. And they're big supporters of veterans, and they have had for many years events at their stores each year, not on a particular veteran national event, just usually in August timeframe, where they give bigger discounts than usual, because they always give veterans discounts, I believe. In the last couple of years, they've turned it into more of a celebration at the ballpark. So LMCU Ballpark is going to host it again this year. They've asked me to talk about some of my experience in the Navy, which I'm proud to do. And I'm looking forward to a chance to see as many veterans as we can get coming out to the stadium. It's going to be a breakfast event this year rather than a lunch event. So we'd love to be able to see folks come out for it.
And we're really proud to support events like this. So troops, if this is happening in your hometown, shoot me an email, let me know about it. Perhaps we can work it in. Tom, thank you. Thank you for being part of the Frontlines of Freedom team and for your service to our nation. I'm glad we're friends.
Me too, Carl. Great talking to you as always.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Jeff Breslow about his book, A Game Maker's Life. Then we'll talk with retired Navy Captain Lee Vincent, who's also a Gold Star dad. And we'll talk with Army vet Steve Rainwater. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.